Hi, I'm Katie.
And I'm Coley. Welcome to the SVU Coven podcast, little witch detectives.
Look at us go.
Yay!
Okay. Hang on. It's sending me. Well, I wish I could show you what my screen looks like because it just popped up and it says the meeting is being recorded.
Yeah.
But I can't make that message go away, so I just have
There's
it
no
now.
like okay on there or anything. That's weird.
It's all right. I can still see you, so that's all that matters.
Okay.
Ooh. Hi, guys.
Hi.
We are pulling it off. Should we just get into things?
Yes.
All right, cool. So, this is our witch talk. It's the corner of the intro of our show where we catch you guys up on what we've been doing. We always laugh because it's a little redundant because Coley and I talk all the time. So, like, we already know, but this is for you guys. So what have I been up to? It has been so fun, like our podcast stuff, launching season three. That's been really exciting for me.
Yeah.
And all those good things, and we'll talk more about it. But other than that, just looking for a job and writing the articles and doing all the things. We had pest control come to my apartment this week, because we have bugs. I live in the South and just naturally have lots of bugs, but it was super stressful for me because I had to take my animals out of the apartment and take them to my grandma's for the day. And both of them have their own sets of special needs. So it's really stressful having to travel with both of them. And then my grandma lives an hour away, and it was just like a lot on my mental health.
Yeah.
So really, since that day, I have just kind of been recovering and trying to take things easy and everything. My boyfriend's been a huge help, and so is Coley, and my friend Sassy, just like letting me talk and vent it out and stress and everything. So I'm grateful to be surrounded with lots of good people, but it's been so hard, and I don't know why. I just have, it's been so hard on my mental. So, kind of just like taking time for me right now to recover from all that stress. And we still have the bugs, so
Yay.
probably gonna have to go through it again. I have been like cleaning like a crazy person, like just trying so hard to get rid of them, but you know, it is what it is.
Yep.
But that's all that's going on with me. What's going on with you?
I've been working like a mad woman at the golf course. We had an outing on Saturday, which is just like a whole bunch of people coming to play golf, and then we make like dinner for them. Or lunch, depending on the time. Yeah, I really haven't been doing much other than working.
Yeah, that's good though. At least like you're keeping busy and stuff.
Yeah.
Was the outing what happened last time I was there when your grandpa like made them dinner or something?
No, that was a league play, which is slightly different than an outing because league play happens every week and outing is like a special occasion type thing.
I got you.
Yeah.
Cool though. Well, do you want to move ahead then?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Just a short little announcement that I'm gonna try to say every episode. We have freaking merch,
We
guys.
have merch.
We have merch and it's so cute. Coley and I both have some designs on there, and obviously the SVU Coven logo is on a t-shirt and a hoodie, but we have coffee mugs, we have stickers, we have beanies. All of that cool stuff through Fourth Wall. So we'll have a link in the podcast notes as well as our social media and all of that fun stuff for you guys to go in and grab it. It is live. I had it held off for like the launch, but now it's live. So you don't need a code or anything to get in there. And we do make a little bit of money off of the merch, but that's not what's important to us. But if you guys buy something and wear it and take pictures of it, please tag us. We want to see it.
Yes.
It's super cool. I am so excited. I'm particularly excited to get that cropped hoodie that says listen to the SVU Coven podcast on it. Because I should have worn it today, but my friend Sassy also uses Fourth Wall for their merch. And it is so comfy. I have one of the cropped hoodies for their Twitch channel and I wear it all the time. It's like the softest thing I own. So I'm so excited for that. I also love the Maloney of it all, like coffee mug.
Yes.
Because it's like tea.
Yep.
So get in there, grab the merch. If you guys have the means to do so, we appreciate the energy exchange.
Yes. All
I'm
right.
I'm suddenly realizing that since we're doing visual podcasts now, everyone's going to see how much I talk with my hands.
Yeah. I'm like sitting on my hands trying not to use them.
I know. I'm like, maybe I'm being distracting. Anyway.
Anyway, so we have some Marushka updates. Yay! So the first thing was she got an honorary doctorate from John Jay College University.
Oh, I forgot about that.
John Jay something. This past week, so she's officially a doctor.
Did Marushka already have degrees? Did she go to school? She did.
She went to UCLA, but she dropped out before she could graduate.
I was like, I knew she did some college.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then she did the Wear Orange Weekend for every town for gun safety. I also participated in this. It is really just wear an orange shirt and make it visible. They chose orange because when you go hunting, they have the hunters wear the bright orange so that they can be seen by other hunters. So that's why they chose orange.
Fun fact, Coley knows this, y'all might not, but I drive a bright orange car.
Yes.
And so I like to pretend that I'm always wearing orange.
And then, of course, yesterday, Sunday the 4th, she posted pictures on her Instagram of her new hairdo, which is adorable.
It's also convenient because I'm going to be talking about her hair a lot today.
Yes. It's, she got like a trim, she got some layers, and she has some bangs that are very reminiscent of Farrah Fawcett bangs if they were feathered. But they're not feathered.
Man, I love a good Farrah Fawcett reference.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking we should make like a Marushka corner in our intro.
We should.
Because we always have random
updates. We always have random Marushka updates.
Is there anything else she's been doing?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think that's everything.
No. Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, and some not so great, but also great news. I am going to talk about very briefly the Danny Masterson news. So if this is something that is triggering for you, I will be talking about SA very briefly. Feel free to skip ahead from this segment. But I just wanted to draw attention to it because the activist part of the coven is important to me, and we've talked about Danny before. So just a little backstory of me personally, that 70s show along with SVU were my comfort shows growing up, and I religiously watched that 70s show. I still truly believe in it. It was a great TV show. And that 90s show on Netflix, not sponsored, is great as well. And I don't think that Danny's actions are indicative of the rest of the cast, obviously, but I haven't been able to watch that 70s show since I heard about this, and it kind of tainted it for me. But a few years ago, it came out that Danny was How do you say this grammatically correct? Doing essay, essaying,
essaying,
essaying, several women while filming That 70 Show. I think it's also important to note that his family is very prominent in the Scientology community. His brother, as well as a famous actor and still a part of Scientology. But this week, we finally got a verdict, kind of. He's guilty of the everyone
essay.
That's accused so far. Yes, yeah. Of essay of everyone that accused him. Which is great news as far as from a justice perspective, because he's getting 30 years to life, which is great because you don't see that as often. Think of Brock Turner, who got 3 months, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good news in the like activist community that this is actually being taken seriously and he is going to pay for what he did. But it's also one of those things that's really emotional for me in particular, because this was someone who I looked up to and liked a lot. So it is kind of a double-edged sword of like sad but also good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see that we're actually making strides to give people the maximum sentences and actually hold them accountable for essay and the things that they've done. So overall good, but I just felt like maybe we should address it because I know I've talked about him before. And I don't know. I'm just kind of bummed out about that whole situation. It's like James Franco to me. It just kind of is so disappointing.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the update on that. Coley, do you have anything you want to say about it, or you want to just move ahead?
I don't, because I don't really know very much about the case. But I'm glad that justice is being served.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Cool.
So, on to the next thing. It's Pride Month!
Yay!
As you may know, both Katie and I are part of the LGBTQIA community.
Yep.
Yes.
Super excited for Pride. If you join our Discord, which I'll talk about later, I threw in some Pride emotes in there that you guys can use. Super cute. I love my little bi flag emote. It like flows in the wind.
Yeah, I'm sad because I can't use any of the ripple, the movie emotes, because you have to have like basic nitro and that's like $2.99 a month.
Yeah, no. My
and
boyfriend
I'm
bought
like,
me nitro,
no.
Which is the only reason I have it. They are really cute though.
Yeah, they are.
I was thinking we should do like some Pride related merch maybe.
Yeah, we could do that.
But happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride Month.
Love being gay.
I hope that you have the pride that you want. And that you do the things you want to do, and remember that whether you're out or not, you're valid, you're loved, and you're a part of this community.
Yeah. We love you.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if this happens to you, but when it's like my notes day, I always feel like I'm talking so much. So please.
Oh, no, that happens to me too.
But I'm going to jump here into our social media part of the intro. So as you guys might know, because I mention it 24/7, we officially have like beefed up our Discord server. I finally freaking did it, you guys. And it's now a community-based server. And we've already had a few people join. And I would love if you guys would join the coven over there. You can talk to us a little more intimately and it kind of builds more of a community. We have tarot stuff over there. I made a Marishka channel for all things Marishka. We have an SVU channel. I also threw in like some announcements channels, like a Q&A channel for events where you can ask me and Coley stuff. If we have an event like that, we'll let you guys know. There's just a lot of cool things happening over in the Discord. And I made our link available 24/7, so it no longer expires. So if you hop over to our Instagram at SVU Coven, you can find the link there. Also, you can email us at svucoven@gmail.com and we will send you a link there. Coley does check our email.
Yes.
So somebody is reading them and they share them with me. So I also see them. Someone will respond and send you a link. Like I mentioned before, we do have an Instagram at SVU Coven. That's where we post all of our updates and pretty much where you'll find anything related to the podcast the most. We like Instagram. So follow us over there. Yes. But if Instagram and Discord are mediums that are not speaking to you, you don't have accounts there, that's totally fine. You can connect with us via email at svucoven@gmail.com, especially if you're interested in sponsoring the show, being a guest on the show, or have anything that you want us to talk about. That is the best place to reach out to us. So, see y'all there?
Yes. This is your episodic reminder to rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and subscribing are the most important things. They tell the algorithm that you like us and will recommend us to other people who will hopefully like us and do the same thing of rating and subscribing. Reviewing is just really nice. We lost all our reviews when we switched podcast hosts. We're holding steady at one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, we have a coffee, so you can tip us on coffee. The link to that, I believe, is in our bio on Instagram. And we also have a YouTube channel where these visual podcasts will go up as well as on Spotify. It's SVU Coven, so you can just go onto YouTube and search SVU Coven, and it'll pop up. Yeah.
Smash that like button.
Smash that like button. Consensually.
Consensually. Smash it. I was trying to think if there's anything else, but I think we're good.
I think we're good. I think we should get into the episode. Oh, okay. Self-love affirmation first.
Yes, yes. I'm about to do that. All right. So, this is our self-love affirmation. I'm actually pulling it from my own brain. So, woohoo for that. This is a manifestation I have been practicing since I lost my job. It's part of my like daily manifestation words. But it's a fill in the blank kind of situation. So I want you guys to take a minute, take a few deep breaths. I always recommend 3 deep breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth, and close your eyes if you're not operating a vehicle or heavy machinery, and always remember to breathe. This is going to be specific to you, so I'm going to read it as if I was saying it, but fill in the blank with whatever you are trying to not necessarily manifest in your life, but maybe calm yourself down about something or need a little help with something. But it's, I have been saying to myself, it's only a matter of time until blank. And so I always say it's only a matter of time until I get that job or I'm in that new position, or it's only a matter of time until this stressful pest control situation is over, because I truly believe that. And when I truly believe it, you'll see the things manifesting in front of you. So it's only a matter of time until you get everything that you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember to breathe.
Yes.
All right.
And keep your eyes open if you're driving or operating heavy machinery.
Yes. Please. Don't get in a car accident. Thank you. All right. Shall we get into the episode?
Yes.
All right. This is season 3, episode 2, Wrath. And I didn't realize, I was texting Coley as I was doing the notes, I forgot that this episode is so soon. I thought it was farther down, but it makes sense because we are still in Baby Benson era.
Yes.
Like, I know we're in season 3 and she's grown up a lot from season 1, but I forget sometimes that she's still just a baby.
She's still a little baby.
She's still a little baby. And we have Baby Munch and Stabler and Finn still, and it's
Finn so still cool. Has his ponytail.
Deep breaths. All right. So we open on these are their stories.
Yay.
And in the first scene, we are in the woods and two men are opening a trunk and they do find a dead body inside, a man inside. They say it's hemolysis. Is that how you say that? Hemolysis.
Hemolysis.
At time of death. Then pan over to another dead body in the grass, and then they find more dead bodies on the trail, and the guy says, these don't belong to us. So evidently this area is a closed off part of the woods where they do experiments on cadavers to learn more to help law enforcement specifically. But if you're just watching this scene for the first time and you aren't an SVU person, it's kind of alarming because you're like, they're doing experiments on dead bodies in the woods. What?
They explain it though.
They explain it
in the scene.
Yes. So it's to help law enforcement. Stabler's there and he investigates the scene. There are drag marks inside the compound.
Did you just say Stabler? Or yeah. Stabler?
Stabler.
I thought you said Stabler.
My Stabler?
Fault. Yeah, like.
Oh, how I'm going to have to tell my boyfriend that. which is particularly funny if you know about him.
Yes.
So, Stabler investigates the scene, and there were drag marks inside the compound where the new dead bodies had been delivered that did not belong to the facility. And they say it's strictly a day job, so there was no one there at night, there was no security, and there were no cameras, which I think is dumb. If it's a government facility, there should at least be cameras and one security dude, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, you know, early 2000s be like that. So there were two adult IDs, and one of the victims is a child about 12 years old. What we know for sure is that two of the victims were prior cases that Olivia was the lead detective on. And at this time, they tell Elliot that he is the lead on this case. And then we done.
Dun dun.
Dun dun.
Even though it says nub nub on camera.
We didn't realize that until after we got them. I love it so. All right. So Olivia's mad that she wasn't called to the crime scene. She's talking to Elliot about this. She says it's her case since it's her victims. And Elliot just kind of concedes to this, which I kind of think is cute. He's just like, yep, okay, you got this. Even though he was given lead detective. Olivia briefs everybody on the case. She says it was two adults, one man, one woman, one child. There's no links in between the three of them at this time. Finn suggests maybe it's gang related, but that's quickly ruled out. Munch goes over the death results and Cragen gives orders. I am surprisingly holding it together with all these Munch scenes.
Yes.
So, Elliot and Olivia go to interview the families of the victims. Mr. Cordell is frustrated because the murderer killed his sister from his case, and he's free due to not having early DNA evidence. This is going to be a runner throughout this episode. So I think it's kind of important to acknowledge that since this, I think this was early 2000s. We're out of the 90s now, aren't we?
Yeah, we're in 2001.
2001. So at this time, you're still seeing this transition in law enforcement with DNA because it's still a relatively new technology. So when they're talking about how there was no DNA evidence, it's because we didn't have the technology or the words or the vocabulary for it when Olivia was doing these previous cases. So just important to note if you are a 2023 SVU person.
Yes.
So, due to the lack of technology at the time, this guy, his name is Victor, he was able to go free. He's married. His wife is currently pregnant. He has a stable job. And we find out from Mr. Cordell that his father used to stalk Victor, because he believes that Victor did kill his daughter. And that's why he was in jail and Olivia put him there. So Elliot and Olivia now go to talk to Victor and say he's the prime suspect at the moment for Tina's father's death. Victor threatens to kill Olivia, basically. It's a joke, but it's definitely like a not okay kind of joke. And he says he and his wife were at a Lamaze class the night before and that his wife has the numbers to get the alibi for that. Munch and Finn go to a foster home to interview the foster mother of the 12-year-old boy. And the foster mom says that Clayton ran away often, but he was relatively a stable kid. He hasn't seen his dad in a while, and visits were always supervised by Olivia. He has a friend in a group home that he was previously at, but the friend told the foster mom that he hadn't seen Clayton. Munch and Finn go to the group home and find out that Clayton was moved to foster care from the group home. Clayton's friend says that he hasn't seen him in a while, but he doubles back when Munch and Finn go to talk to him. His name's Michael. Michael says he saw Clayton and Clayton told him that he won a computer and he had a little flyer saying that he won a computer. Again, 2001. Michael gave Clayton all his money that he had to call a cab so that Clayton could go pick up his computer. Clayton had called him later on from a McDonald's parking lot and said that he took the cab and everything to go get the computer. And that was the last he was heard of. From here, Elliot and Olivia go to talk to the female victim's family. There's a lot happening because there's like four cases in this episode.
Yeah.
So they go to talk to the female victim's family. Her mother tells them that she also won a computer. The letter looked like it was coming from a sales deal. So at the time, you guys probably remember, if you were kicking it in 2001, you would get letters like this in the mail. That's like the equivalent of a spam email. And that's what she's referencing. So she says her daughter took the letter, so she doesn't have it. Olivia reassures her that they are going to catch this guy. And what I think is very sweet is that the victim's mom thanks Olivia for all her help. And it's the only time you really see anybody thank Olivia in the whole episode. So I just want to take a moment to acknowledge. So they go to talk to Clayton's father and he says, I think that's what this scene is. I did not get very specific in the notes here, but they go to talk to the father of the victims and Munch says, that car services have the address for Clayton's drop-off spot. So where the cab was that dropped him off. Eomph goes to the company that was putting out these flyers about the computers. And inside this office space, everything's boxed up, like either they're moving in or moving out. And their phone number was disconnected, so there was no way to call the company to find out more information. Olivia is going through the drawers and she finds the computer winning ad. Elliot pulls these dudes like whiskey cups, wine cups, I'm assuming to pull DNA. Munch says, we've got our crime scene. Olivia walks away and she shuts the office door. And this is my favorite scene in the whole episode. When she shuts the office door, you can see the reflection of like the company logo and it's spelled backwards and it spells Olivia.
Let me tell you, the scream I scrumped, the gasp scrumped. I gasped when I first saw this scene.
Right?
So many years ago.
Mind blown.
Yes.
And I get that they're like establishing the connection that Olivia is like the reason for the season. But I never expected that, because when you see them walking into the office, you don't even think about it. It's just like a company logo on this office. And then when she closes it and she's standing next to her name, It's like, oh my God. And then
And
it
she's
pans.
just like, guys.
Yeah. And then it pans to the boys and they're all standing there like, fuck. Like, I don't know. I just love it. It's such a like added little thing that just brings it all together to me.
Yeah.
Now we have baby Huang.
Yay.
I love him. So Wong comes in to analyze the situation. We've determined now that Olivia is for sure the target. Liv wonders how he knew all three cases were hers since they aren't connected in any way other than herself being involved. Olivia feels attacked for maintaining relationships with the victims. So this is a running theme with Baby Benson especially, is that like after her cases are solved, she usually still maintains relationships with the victims to help them further, which is wonderful, but can also cause like conflicts. And I think it's something that Baby Benson is struggling with and learning and important to talk about. The current theory is that the perp is an ex-con who had a serious hatred for Olivia. So now we're going to have to figure out which one that could be. Kragen gives his orders. Elliot and Olivia go to the bank to follow the money. Elliot says to call the FBI task force to find the checks that were deposited into this account, which I believe is for. Do we have the person's account already?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I can't remember either. So Olivia says that the point of this scene is that Olivia's frustrated because the FBI is involved and she wants to be able to have more control over this case. And during their walk and talk, Olivia says to Elliot that it should go to their lab, and Elliot says the FBI is faster. And then they figured out where Clayton's father actually is to go talk to him. So they go to the tombs to talk to Clayton's father. He's there on a drunk and disorderly charge. They tell him that Clayton has passed away. Clayton's father reveals that Clayton was a victim of SA in the group home, and that's why they moved him to foster care. But the father isn't a suspect in this particular case. Elliot and Olivia go to talk to Junior, who is a previous perp, and he is currently in a wheelchair, just hanging out on the side of the street. I really love this character. He also tells Olivia, like, at the time, he was definitely on crack when he was being mean to her. And he's like, I totally understand. You were just doing your job. You did what you had to do. I have no negative feelings towards you anymore.
My favorite line of that scene is, well, he obviously isn't doing a good job since she's still breathing.
I love that. I think Junior is such a good character. I kind of wish that he was a runner because I don't know why, I just find him amusing.
Yeah.
But he says, you know, the reason he sits on the side of the road every day now is not just to watch the world go by, but it's because he wants to help these inner city kids so they can see, you know, how their choices impact their life. And I wrote in the notes, Junior is weirdly helpful. Because I don't really understand him. So can we say this word?
Hold on.
Give him the notes pulled up. Because I don't know what the term would be. I think I spelled it wrong, but you
You
know.
did, but I know what you mean. I don't think we can, but I don't know what the word would be either.
A person who conducts SA on a child.
There we go.
There we go. So Munch and Finn go to talk to a person that has conducted SA on children that Olivia put in jail. An update on him is that a treatment for this kind of thing at the time and still kind of today is to give them hormonal injections to stop their like sex drive a little
Yeah,
bit.
it's called chemical castration.
Yeah. And he says he's going through that and he's got boobies now and all this stuff he's like shitting on. But he says he's clean. He hasn't gone near children. He's just trying to make some money and integrate into society and be a normal person and do all the things. Sorry, there's a loud car outside. The funny part of this scene to me is that Munch basically says that he wishes that he could actually castrate the guy.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because Munch is so, like, dead ass about it.
He's like, what'll make you, like, get off my back about this thing? And Munch is, like, a special kind of surgery.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We love him.
Yes.
So Elliot and Olivia from here go to talk to a florist, and she says her ex-husband was not guilty when Olivia arrested him. So they're interviewing her because her ex-husband was one of the people Olivia put in jail. And at the time, DNA evidence, we didn't have the technology for that. So it turns out dude was never guilty in the first place once the DNA exonerated him. But it's important that we interview him and his families because Olivia did put him there and he was wrongly convicted. So that gives him a motive. The ex-wife refuses to tell them where her ex-husband is and is very mean to Olivia. And so when they leave this store, Olivia's like, I just want to go home. Elliot's like, do you need any food? Do you need dinner? Can I go with you? Like, just very caring. And Olivia's like, nope, I just want to go home. Which is fair, I think, but definitely not concerned enough about her well-being, but that's just Olivia Benson, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
So cut to Olivia is sleeping in her apartment, and I just want to talk about who sleeps that beautifully.
Like, who sleeps? Okay. How do you sleep on your back? I don't understand as a side
she's
sleeper.
Like, on her back, she's definitely like, has makeup on. She's just a little dainty sleep. And also, like, the light is coming in through her curtains, so even though it's dark in the room, she's got like this beautiful, like, lace, like, prettiness all over her, just angelic. I like to think that's how Mariska sleeps in general. She's like so sleeping in her apartment, she hears her buzzer go off. It's 4:39 in the morning. No one answers when she goes to check who it is. So she says, oh, you've got the wrong apartment, starts walking back to bed, and the buzzing starts again. Olivia runs downstairs to her door with her gun and finds a toothpick sticking in her buzzer button.
Is it a toothpick, or I always thought it was a pencil.
Oh, maybe it is a pencil. Some sort of like wood thing sticking in the buzzer, holding it down. Then she sees a box from Avilio Productions, which is Olivia Backwards Productions, outside, and there's an arm sticking out of it. So she calls it in. We find that it was actually Clayton's father is the cadaver in the box. Benson is told that she has to stand down at this point. They don't want Olivia involved in the case because it's clear that, you know, she's the target here. But Olivia, of course, is frustrated, and she says she's not a victim. And then they tell her that according to the release form, she was the one that let Clayton's father out of the tombs. But Olivia did not do that.
No.
They go to check out why that could be, and there's no ID from the guy who released him. It just says Oliver Benson, I think. Elliot and Olivia kick everyone out of the facility, because they're frustrated that there's not solid records. So in this kind of facility, they really need to be tracking more of what's going on.
Yeah.
All they can give them is they said the guy was white, average, late 20s or 30s. That's what we know. Cragen is told by higher-ups that Olivia needs to be taken off the case. And something I absolutely love is that Cragen defends Olivia and says that she's one of their star detectives, and we all have choices to make, and I've already made mine. So he's like, no, bitch, Olivia stays on the case.
Yes.
And I love that. However, everybody is very concerned about Olivia. Everybody. Except Olivia, which tracks. So Cragen does go up to Olivia and says to take it easy as they go to interview Mr. Plummer. So this is the ex-husband of the florist.
Yes.
And he has two names throughout this episode. I'm going to go ahead and spoil it now because he did change his name after being arrested. And his new last name is Weber. Mm. And I get them confused as I'm doing the notes. So if you hear me say Plummer or Weber, they are the same person. So Cragen tells them to go interview Mr. Plummer. Olivia says that she does not, under any circumstance, want a protective detail, but it's clear here that Cragen is still worried about her. So Norman Weber is the guy they're looking for. They go to his state or his place of employment, but his boss says Weber's background check was completely clean and that they do a thorough check. And he's very, very, very concerned because if Weber is, you know, not who he says he is or whatever, it can reflect badly on the company. And things like that. And I think it's kind of funny because Elliot just kind of reassures him. He's like, no, it's good. Don't worry about it. Back at the squad room, Olivia is talking to Wong and he very much does that thing where he's like, how does that make you feel? And Olivia's like, stop it. She's like, stop shrinking me.
He's like, I'm not shrinking you. And she's like, yes, you are.
Your whole thing, like that's your whole thing, that's why you're here. So Wong then tells her that in the past he had been attacked by a murderer, I think he was doing an interview for the FBI, and it definitely did get in his head. He calls it psychological warfare and compares it to what's going on with Olivia. He tells her, based on the profile he is creating, that their perp is freeing the victims from their miserable existence, indicating that he identifies with these victims and sees himself as a victim of Olivia as well. Alex is downstairs in the squad room going over Weber's case. That is when Olivia decides that she's leaving for the day, and Munch and Finn go with her. Munch suggests a bar, assuming they're going to a cop bar, kind of after work vibes. Alex from here argues with Weber's attorney, and I really, really like this line. I just think it's good writing. So Weber / Plummer is there, and Alex keeps telling him, like, she keeps reiterating, like, you had a fair trial, we just didn't have the evidence to exonerate you. And he says, please don't dismiss what I went through by telling me I had a fair trial, because he was essayed and bullied and hurt while in jail for a crime he did not commit. And I think that's, I'll talk about it more in a second, but I just really like that writing.
Yeah.
There. He says that he changed his name so that he could feel safe again. He works in a lab, not a hospital, so he couldn't have access to some of the drugs that were in these victims' bodies. So he says he has no alibi since he technically lives alone, but is willing to give all of his work records. Alex says he's right, though, because in order to try him for this, they will need hard evidence. They can't take him over circumstantial evidence due to how his case went last time.
Yeah.
MFL, I typed. Munch, Finn, Liv.
I was looking at that and I was like, who's L?
L and is I was Liv. Like,
Liv. Okay.
Evidently. And instead of Olivia. But Munch, Finn, and Olivia are at this bar debating Olivia's previous cases. I believe it's Munch who says to her, if he's your guy, he's a predator, not a victim.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to take a second here, because I think it's important to discuss being wrongfully imprisoned and how the cops create monsters, as Olivia put it. I think when, you know, it's 2023 and we're discussing a cop show from the early 2000s, you know, people are wrongfully imprisoned every day.
Yeah.
And it is something that is a huge hole in the justice system, in my opinion. And I don't want to belittle the experience of people who have been wrongly imprisoned, but I also, and I want to hold cops accountable, especially because I live in Cop City, for the thing that the direct results of their actions. You even see it. There's an episode with Elliot, where it's a similar theme and discussion. And I think it's very powerful what Weber said about not belittling his jail experience, because he was wrongfully imprisoned, and law enforcement should be held accountable for that. However, it doesn't make it okay to go out and try to hurt the detectives who put you there.
Yeah.
Just saying. We all got a job to do, you know?
Yep.
Someone is following Olivia and she knows it. So she turns around and does her Baby Benson thing with this person. And he says that he's with the FBI. He's doing a protective detail here. And Olivia looks up and sees Weber in the distance just staring at her. It is protective detail. Olivia gets mad, saying that she didn't want that. And it turns out that it was actually Elliot who ordered the detail, because he was worried about her. And I love this next scene very, very much. But cut to, we're at the Stabler residence. Elliot is walking downstairs in his like full robe he's got on. It's like the middle of the night. It's Olivia at the door, and she is understandably pissed at him. And she says she deserved better from Elliot, but Elliot, you know, is just concerned about her. He doesn't want his partner and best friend to get murdered. Olivia says, "You can't trust your partner, Elliot. It's time to get a new one." And I was like, thinking about the current episodes of SVU that are coming out, and I was like, damn, how far we have come.
Yeah.
It looks like Olivia's gonna walk away, and then they mute it, and she turns around and is still talking to Elliot. And I think that's incredibly a powerful decision, because you know that she turned around and they talked it out.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. However, she's still pissed. So
yeah.
From here, Olivia goes to confront Alex about the case, and in all caps, I wrote, "I wish they were gay."
Can I say something?
Yeah.
This outfit they have Olivia in is the epitome of butch lesbian in 2001.
Yeah, and she's also still got the haircut.
She's got the haircut. It's the t-shirt under the collared shirt. It's the chain. Oh.
And also, if you guys didn't know, there was like a whole plot that got cut of Olivia kissing Alex.
Yeah. It wasn't written into the script. It was improv.
Mm, yes.
I couldn't think of the word.
It was improv. And it never aired.
They cut it. It wound up on the cutting room floor, and we will never see it. And that makes me sad.
That feels homophobic.
Yeah.
during
Pride Month of all times. But my source for her looking like a butch lesbian is my mom was a butch lesbian. So.
Yes. And she just is, because this haircut could not be more inconvenient for this scene. She's already dressed very like butch lesbian. And then she has that accidental haircut that's like Ellen DeGeneres gay. And like, her and Alex together would have been so cute.
They really would have been.
I'm sad for lesbians everywhere. Yes. All right. So Olivia goes to talk to Alex, and I wish they were gay, but they're not. And that we know. And they're discussing Weber / Plummer. So here's where I get kind of like confusion over the last name. Alex asks Olivia how many drinks she had had at the bar when she was with Munch and Finn prior to walking home, because she knows that they're going to poke holes in this case. And if Olivia says that she saw Weber outside, but she had had alcohol in her system, it was going to kind of discredit her. Olivia gets defensive here and says that she wasn't drunk and storms out, which is true, I think, because you only see them with one drink each before they cut to her walking home. But I guess we don't know.
And you only see Olivia take one sip of a beer.
Right, right. But I do understand what Alex is saying, because they will for sure poke that hole.
Yeah.
So Cragen calls Olivia into his office. Liv says that she had to do something when she saw Weber outside. However, she has vacation days and pulls herself off the case. Cragen says he isn't questioning her abilities. He still has full faith in her and was going to let her run forward with this case. But Olivia says that she is. Cragen grants the time off, and Olivia, I wrote that she storms out. She doesn't really storm out. She just kind of leaves. But
yeah,
I like to think that she stormed out. From here, Cragen pulls the team together for updates. It turns out that Plummer/Weber is, he still talked to his ex-wife in jail daily. They still were in constant communication. I don't know if they were divorced at the time or if they were, if it was after the fact, but they still had a connection. At the DA's office, Alex pushes for the case. She goes to talk to Plummer/Weber's ex-cellmate. He says that Plummer specifically had a thing for some female cop while he was in jail. And he had hand-delivered letters to Plummer's ex-wife. So Plummer's cellmate took letters from Plummer, gave it to his wife, who then gave it to Plummer's ex-wife. And that's how they were communicating. I forget what one of the attorneys says, but he calls it like the prison mail system or the prison something, or like
prison pony express or something like that.
Something like that. Elliot, Munch, and Finn go to Plummer's apartment and actually find the drugs used for the murders in his home. It's under his kitchen sink. And they go to talk to his boss again, who thinks Plummer is Weber, and says Olivia had just been there. And I wrote, damn it, baby Benson. Because she was supposed to be resting.
On vacation.
On vacation. And she had just been there to talk to him. So Olivia's one step ahead, as always.
Yep.
All right. Y'all gonna have to bear with me because this is a very intense scene. And I wrote it all in one paragraph. All right. So.
How very me of you.
Yeah. Normally I cut them up so that I can like take a break and like Coley and I can chat in between. But I felt like it was important that this scene is well covered with not so many tangents, because I am a tangential person. All right. So Olivia knocks on the door at an apartment, and immediately she hits the door. She hears a gunshot. She calls it in. The door opens and a woman is being held at gunpoint, says that Olivia has to come inside. Olivia says, I can't, because that's protocol in this situation. The lady says that he knew Olivia was coming and to tell her that the victims didn't suffer, but that she won't be so lucky. And he pulls her back. Olivia comes in and you immediately see it's Weber/Plummer holding the gun to the lady's head. He wanted Olivia's credibility to be shattered like his was when he was wrongfully imprisoned. He says that the victims he murdered were suffering and he helped them. Olivia apologizes for what happened to Plummer, and she does have his gun on, or her gun on him. So she's holding her gun up and her hands are like physically, like you can see them shaking, holding the gun. You can tell that she's visibly scared and kind of unsure. Plummer says there are no bullets in his gun whatsoever. And then he goes to shoot the lady and Olivia shoots him anyway, whether she knew that there were bullets in the gun or not. The team, what?
I just want to say her look after she shoots him and he falls to the floor and he's no longer living.
Yeah.
She's looking like confused. It's like, homegirl.
Mm-hmm.
Just shot him 3 times. What did you think was gonna happen?
Yeah,
she's, I know, like, she's amazed. In shock, but like her shock face is confused.
Is this the first time that we've seen Olivia shoot somebody?
No,
I didn't think so, because I was like, I know that she has experience wielding her weapon. Yeah. So the nervousness is not to do with actually shooting somebody. I think it's more to do with her fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right after, when she has the confusion face, the team arrives with Olivia still holding the gun. Elliot slowly takes the gun from her hand. And then they reveal that Plummer's gun was not loaded. There weren't any bullets in the gun. Yeah. And Elliot says that he'll take Olivia's statement, and she's like, nope. And it's clear that she's still very mad at him.
Yeah.
Cut to Olivia once again. home alone in her apartment in the dark. It's raining. It's very, very emo, this scene. Someone is knocking on her door, but she doesn't answer. The phone rings. She ignores it. You see one single tear fall down Olivia Benson's cheek. And I just want to give acting credit to Mariska here, because damn, that was good. And cut to, you see Elliot leaving her doorway, like solemnly walking slowly out the door. And then we Dick Wolf.
Dick Wolf.
That was a Mariska episode, if I do say so myself.
Mariska is very talented at the single tear cry.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Give me 1 second because I forgot to get my cards. They're over there.
Okay. I'll do the RRS thing.
Yes. Thank you.
So this is your second episodic reminder to rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and subscribing are the most important things. They tell the algorithm that you like us and will recommend us to other people who will hopefully like us and subscribe and rate and all that fun stuff. Reviewing is just really nice, or commenting if you're on YouTube, because we lost all our reviews when we switched podcast hosts. We're holding steady at 1.
We'll read them out on the episodes, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have a coffee. You can tip us on coffee. I believe it's in our link in our Instagram bio. And we have a YouTube channel, and you can watch these as well as on Spotify. Consensually smash that like button, subscribe. Yeah.
All that good stuff. We appreciate the energy exchange.
Yes.
So I am using my Trip and Wait tarot deck. Can you see it? I can't see myself.
Yes.
It's like a LSD hippie acid theme take on the traditional tarot. So add a jumper. And let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 of Cups. Super pretty. So 10 of Cups to me is a very happy card, which I think is very interesting for this episode, but it's very like love and family and joy. You can see like the little kids dancing with their parents and this home and this beautiful like foundation. And I think it goes back to kind of the self-love affirmation that I was saying of like, in time, everything you want, all of the dreams that you have and everything that you need even is going to be flowing to you. Your cup will be filled.
Yes.
And it's a very abundant card, this card, but eventually, and it's not necessarily family. Like I am very much not a kid person, don't want kids right now in my life, but this card is more about like building your foundations and bringing in your abundance. So when you're looking at it and you see all of these beautiful like rainbows and everything, it's a reminder that you can have everything that you want, and you will have everything that you want in time, and trust the process.
Yes. I think it's a pretty perfect card for Pride Month too.
Yes. Because love, man. Love is
love
the best
and rainbows and
love and gay. So gay. Thank you guys so much. So if you're still hanging out here with us and you are on Instagram, we are over there at SVU Coven. If you are listening right now, drop an emoji on our most recent post, whatever your favorite emoji is, and that's how we'll know you came from the end of the show. We also have a Discord server, so while you're over there on Instagram, if you want to click the link in our bio, you can join our Discord server. It is so much fun, and we would love to grow the coven with you. But if social media is not your medium of choice, that is fine. We do have an email at svucoven@gmail.com. If you want to be on the show or have questions for us or anything, all of the above, want to sponsor the show, that's the best place to get in touch with us. Coley does check the email, so somebody is reading them, and we'll get back to you. I think that's everything.
I think that's everything.
All right. Well, I love you so much.
I love you too.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Blessed be.
Blessed be.